Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 7th on the West Coast, now February the 8th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome, along with the listeners on BBSRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And you can't find that on the internet, so don't try. If you have a radio, you might pick up one of their many stations. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, there is so much information coming out right now, truth-wise, as to what's really going on behind the scenes, the financial shenanigans that are being played. And I think you're going to find tonight's show both interesting, revealing, and maybe even a little mystifying. And before we bring tonight's guest on board, I would say that if we don't do anything about this, we're all going to be in some deep ellum.
Yeah.
keyboardist Jeff Lorber and Deep Ellum. That's what it feels like to be in Deep Ellum. It's kind of funky, wouldn't you say? And we're going to reveal some funky truth tonight. I've got tonight the host of a website, atruwatt.org, and the host of a radio show heard on microeffect.com, Mondays through Fridays from 10 to 12 Mountain Time, 9 to 11 Pacific, and noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time. The story behind the story. And he brings the story behind the story with him tonight as a PhD, a naturopath, also an author, a journalist, and a talk show host, my good friend, Dr. A. True Atru. Welcome to the show.
Don, well, thank you. I was talking with you, but I had my microphone muted.
That's always good.
I said, oh, my goodness, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, there's a red light here on the switch.
And the dog's, like, hiding under the couch now.
It is. Oh, golly, yeah, what an interesting weekend. On my radio show, as I explained to you a little bit, on Friday, I had Mr. Barry Chalmers here with me. I've known Barry for quite a number of years. We actually met through a joint friend of mine who's now deceased, and she was doing quite a bit of investigative journalism herself. She actually owned a weekly newspaper in southern Utah. Her name was Katie Thomas. And Katie and I were amazingly kindred spirits. Katie left the LDS Church after coming up with strong evidence to her mind and soul how corrupt and false it was. And I came and had some meetings with her. And, of course, the intention was to bring her back into the Mormon fold. But she was so sincere and so honest in her research, I had to take a second look at it myself. And she was not no small reason why I eventually withdrew myself as well. Well, Katie Thomas had the utmost respect for Barry Chalmers. And yeah, you know, I've had numerous discussions with him about Congressman Wayne Owens' murder. Okay, this is a whole other topic, Don, but Congressman Wayne Owens was born and raised in a small southern Utah town called Panguitch, Utah, and was a sure-tell relative of mine, as a matter of fact. He actually grew up with my uncles, was a third cousin to us, and so there was always closeness there in that regard as well. But he was a Democratic congressman who did a lot of good conservative things, okay? And the evidence very much points to the fact that he was on a fact-finding junket there to the Middle East and was actually taken out because of finding some links to Zionism and organized crime in America. Surprise, surprise. Well, anyway, this is what the discussion and investigation with Chalmers is. And I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that my impression of Barry Chalmers is twofold. I think he's very relentless, thorough investigator. I very much respect him as being no BS. If there is something that doesn't fit, I think he's very much open and honest to expose it, no matter what it is. Okay, and it takes some guts to go up against the powers that be in Israel when he himself is Jewish and used to be an Israeli citizen. In fact, served in the Israeli army. Now, in our discussion Friday, the whole point was just divulging what was really going on in Egypt. He'd made some very interesting discoveries concerning the powers that be there. We talked about, for the first hour, the connections with Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood, the couple of real bombshells that Chalmers had uncovered is that the April 6th activists that are supposedly be the moving force behind these protests there, the April 6th activists, 70,000 members funded by the USA. And he referenced WikiLeaks website and releases to the British Telegraph newspaper, showing that there were actual communications with the leaders of the April 6th movement with Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush's White House clear back in 2007, 2006. Unbelievable there. And then the links, of course, going back to the Muslim Brotherhood and Mohammed El-Barade, the connections with Barade and George Soros are amazing. El-Barade sits as a board member on Soros's and the Zbigniew Brzezinski's Crises Group website. All this was brought out in a very good piece by Mr. Chalmers. So this was our discussion was on the first hour. Mm-hmm. And as we came into the second hour, I completely hit into an area that I had no idea that Barry was into. I just happened to make some reference about an event at Ober Jerusalem and asked if he knew about it. I was referring in just generic terms to see if he had any idea of the event on January 28th over the Dome of the Rock. And he did not have any idea about it at that time. He didn't know about it. But he floored me because he says, well, you know, I fully know about the repeated evidence and the clear and concise evidence of UFO and alien interactions with the people of Israel. And come to find out, he'd actually written a book on the subject called Return of the Giants. And so I downloaded the book that afternoon after the show. I finished the book Friday night. It was I just read it very rapidly, 150 pages. And then Saturday I went back and literally dissected it as I do, chopping it into pieces and tracing them down. And then in the meantime, I sent him what I, you know, the video footage of the event in question, and the response I sent when I first received this video, I sent it to Jeremiah to see what his response would be. And let me just, I guess probably the best thing to do is just to read the actual response verbatim, if that's okay.
Sure.
Let me pull it up here, because I was kind of sweating this tonight, Don, because after I was finished talking to you on the phone, my computer internet service has just gone completely wacko.
Well, okay. You know, we're on topic, right?
Yeah, and I got kicked off my show today again with we're talking about the catacombs under Paris. This National Geographic story under Paris, this month's National Geographic, is stunning when you understand all of the catacombs under Salt Lake City that doesn't get any attention. And we started talking about that, and boop, there I go. I'm kicked off.
Hmm. Well, I missed that show, but that would have been interesting.
we always have fun, I'll tell you what.
I was preoccupied, but not that I like to miss it.
Let me ask a question.
Did Barry mention what people these were?
Oh, I'll get to that. Yeah, let me share with you what I sent to him, and I just basically gave him a story, the story of Jeremiah. I said, Barry, I downloaded your book, Return of the Giants. Finished it this morning. I understand that you will have skepticism about this post, for I too am skeptical of most things. I must say, however, in all sobriety, that I have witnessed many strange events in the last 6 months that Jeremiah has informed me of beforehand. Jeremiah's story is that he is the earthly contact of a very benevolent, quote, intergalactic federation of 574 free planets, much more technically advanced than Earth. At first glance, I tell you, it appears to be very much a creation of Lucas's Star Wars plot, but I have spoken numerous times with Jeremiah, and his credentials and resume do indeed check out. He was an Air Force pilot and has commercial flying experience. Jeremiah simply says this, that the Federation made their presence known to Truman, Khrushchev, and Eisenhower immediately after the detonation of the nuclear bombs in Japan. The reason, he says, they became involved is because a nuclear holocaust on planet Earth negatively affects other solar systems in the vacuum of space-time. So, the Federation, he says, has a very strong stake in keeping the nuclear genie in the bottle. Therefore, they do indeed monitor and engage what can be called opposition Nephilim and Draco craft, piloted by Greys and Giants and others who are promoting nuclear options on this planet. Bottom line, Barry, I have not personally seen nor traveled on these ships, so I cannot say with pure knowledge that they exist. However, your book gives incredible corroboration to everything Jeremiah has told me personally has happened in Israel during the 90s, where he says he has been personally involved in what he calls cloaked battles. Also, please keep this information private as much as possible. So here we are talking about it on the radio.
Well, you change your mind after a while, don't you?
Well, Don, you're under attack. I've read the attacks against you and Jeremiah.
Well, we've already identified those people who they are.
Yeah, we do, but it's getting legs. Okay, it's getting more and more legs, and I'm sure I'll get attacked as well. But here's what was sent to me by Jeremiah, and this is word for word. Okay, I sent him the videotape, which, by the way, we can't show it on a radio show, but it has a very amazing light. I like to think of it as like a new star. It's that bright. And it's right over the top of the most sacred place, really, in Jerusalem. And that's the Dome of the Rock.
Let it be clear. It's a craft. It's not.
Right. But when you're looking at the first video I received was kind of quite a distance. It looks like up on a surrounding hill, and they were using, of course, telephoto lens for it. But the star, which is really not a star, but it looks like it in the first video, comes right down and comes right directly over the top of the Dome of the Rock. And I think, 2.5-3 minutes elapses, and then you see a flash, a large flash on ground level, and then the craft just there's no way this could be a star. It shoots out like faster than the space shuttle could leave. I mean, this is amazing.
50,000 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, just whoosh, it goes. Okay, so I sent that to Barry, and then immediately he checks into the story with his sources in Israel to see if this is bogus or just made up. And lo and behold, there's another videotape from another party that's even clearer and closer. Yeah. Okay. Now, I sent the first video to Jeremiah just to say I want to see what his response would be. And he writes, quote, now again, ladies and gentlemen, you have to take this for what it's worth, a little bit of faith, yeah, a little bit of honesty of the people involved. And I'll tell you why I personally believe this is true. And this is, again, just personal from Truot. He says, quote, I took it upon myself to accomplish something that should have been done a long time ago. I had hoped that it would not get captured on film, but as you can see, it was filmed. I had forewarned two Israeli government officials whom I trust so they could be prepared in case we failed. Now, that sentence right there has been corroborated by people in Israel, by the way. Okay. And I'll go on and explain this in detail.
Okay.
He says, quote, there has been a mini doomsday device, parentheses nuclear, planted under the edifice that houses the dome. That's called Dome of the Rock, ladies and gentlemen. It had been placed there about 15 years ago by radical Muslim / Vatican forces in the event that Israel ever decided to claim that territory, meaning the Dome of the Rock, and take it away from the Muslim powers. This was a suicide bomb that would have destroyed most of Jerusalem and the surrounding country as well. It should have been disarmed several years ago, but no one dared or ventured to do it. Several of my crews had volunteered to do the dirty work, but it was quite risky, even with our advanced electronic equipment. So I decided to do it myself with the help of David, my co-pilot, and no other crew members, at his insistence. If the bomb had exploded, we would have been history, but we trained on the equipment for several weeks to make sure we knew the correct procedures. Now, we trained on the equipment for several weeks. That statement there has also been corroborated, Don. I send you proof of that, too. To make sure we knew the correct procedures, which were many. I kept all of the craft away except for some backup drone crafts, which were the red lights that were seen. Again, that's verified. I will not explain their purpose for reasons of security. As we disarmed the bomb electronically, the flash of light that was seen was the frying of the firing mechanism and the arcing of electrical panels. I got out of there in a hurry and put, quote, the pedal to the metal. We were several thousand miles away in seconds. Indeed, that's what the video shows. I think David and I were both sweating profusely. Our squadron was waiting at a rendezvous point, and we proceeded to the Alliance, which, as you know, is in orbit around another planet. We had a celebration with all of our crews upon arrival. Israeli forces then immediately stormed the dome and captured the device. Now, when my friend went to confirm this, there was no confirmation or denial, which typically means
yes,
it's confirmed. There was no resistance. It was hushed up to prevent another war, especially with the Council on Foreign Relations induced tensions in Cairo happening simultaneously as this event.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You are the only... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that's exactly how I described the event last Wednesday on my show with Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. I just wanted to let the listening audience know that if they want to hear that show, you're going to hear a similar account without me reading anything, actually. So go ahead.
So he says, quote, "You are the only one I have confided in on this matter. I surely do not want to start a Middle Eastern war only to help prevent it. I will probably tell Don today." I believe this was back on Monday last.
Yes, but I had, here's what's interesting, is I had contacted him, sent him the link, and asked him why he didn't tell me he was going to be
really
there.
Well, that's amazing. He says, quote, "A few weeks ago, 23 of my crews and I disarmed 23 suitcase nukes that were hidden in this country in various locations." And he goes on to explain that. Now, let's not go off there. He says also in closing, "This information is for your discretion. My life is already in jeopardy, so que sera, sera. My security team caught two more assassins with sniper rifles in the woods behind my house just last week. Fortunately, they no longer exist. I'm sure there will be other attempts, as there will be on you as well. I look at the bullet scar on the oak tree in my backyard just yesterday." And he goes on to explain what happened, et cetera, et cetera. "That is my story." He says, "There will probably be more. Got to get some sleep. I got home early tonight. Been a busy day. God bless you. Keep in touch." Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, wow, that's a fantastic story. Is it true? Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a better explanation for that video? The video is not fake or phony. There's been four different versions of it. Four different people have recorded it. I've seen four of them. It happened. All of Israel is buzzing about the event. Just in case listeners don't know, Don, let's rehash what the Dome of the Rock is all about. People in America may not be aware of this.
Sure, go ahead.
The timing of this, ladies and gentlemen, behind Mecca, which is in Saudi Arabia, the Dome of the Rock is the second most holy site in all of worldwide Islamic religion. They believe and maintain this is basically where the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven and received his commission, basically, from Allah. And this incredible Dome of the Rock is a covering of that. Now, there's a problem as far as concurrent Judeo-Christian traditions as well. It's held basically in joint trust with Christian churches as well as Jewish synagogues. It's the location of the ancient Solomon's Temple. There, ladies and gentlemen, there is the rock that's supposed to be also where Abraham was set to sacrifice his son, Isaac, but was stopped. So, I mean, this is very sacred for Judaism. It's very sacred for Christianity, primarily because, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian tradition says that there will be an Antichrist established in a temple built and rebuilt where the ancient temple of Solomon stood at that point. So you see the problem. There can't be a return of Jesus Christ. There cannot be, according to Christian beliefs, until the Dome of the Rock is no more. So you see what's going on here as far as fulfilling biblical prophecy. It's a powder keg. Now, the date of this event, the 28th of January, coincides with the escalation and ramping up of the protests there in Egypt. Don, if that had been detonated and or caused the destruction of the Dome of the Rock, there's no doubt there would be jihad. There would be mass killings in every country of the world, really, as this just starts off this, shall we say, Armageddon. Okay, yeah. So.
And you explained the consequences on a galactic scale or even a universal scale. So this is not going to be taken lightly, what they're pushing for.
Exactly. So that said, I really expected, frankly, that Barry would come out and just completely, you know, rip this apart, saying this is all a hoax. I was really surprised that he didn't. I'll be honest with you. I thought he would just say there's no proof of this. No, what happened was he sent me some documentation that to me was pretty stunning. And let me go ahead and share that with you.
Sure.
The highlights. I sent this to you earlier, Don, and you say you haven't gotten it, which is really surprising. But it's. I sent it on again to you tonight. So
okay.
Here is what Chalmers sent me. First of all, he sent me the December. There was some tourists there at the West Wall, which, you know, is another sacred site in Judaism. The Wailing Wall, the remnant of the Temple of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have a video where, and this is again, they weren't looking for this. This was just a tourist taking a shot of the Wailing Wall in the North Wall, as it's called, the Crying Wall, in broad daylight. It was back in December 1222, so it was right the day after the winter solstice. Okay. There's a strange ball of light, you know, bouncing around. It looked like it's going and investigating the Temple Mount. I mean, this only lasts like 40 or 50 seconds, but there's definitely an orb that's bouncing around there that's unexplained. Okay, so Barry sent that to me, and then he basically wrote to me, quote, in a front page article on February 1st of 2011, Marivs, MARRIVS, NRG newspaper. I don't really know what that means, but he says it's a leading mainstream media Israeli newspaper, has stated explicitly that the January 28, 2011 Dome of the Rock UFO experience and a December 16, 2010 and the December 22, 2010 Willingwell UFO orb may well be a manifestation of now deceased former Canadian NORAD officer Stanley A. Fulham's statements about the existence of a Galactic Governance Council and his predicted acceleration of sightings of this extraterrestrial council and their UFOs worldwide starting in January 2011. Mariv's NRG newspaper, which Haaretz reported was seeking to overtake, quote, Ynet's dominant status as Israel's number one news site, and ended its February 1st, 2011 front page analysis of the Dome of the Rock UFO, citing, quoting scientists who have been analyzing the implications of the UFO sighting, as well as the prior appearance of on December 16th of the other UFO orb in broad daylight along Jerusalem's Wailing Wall. This piece reported, other eminent scientists believe that these two phenomena, the Dome of the Rock UFO and the Wailing Wall UFO orb, are not surprising because the wall, along with the Temple Mount, can definitely be a meeting place between humans and aliens, the scientists stated. Quote, it could well be that the expert Canadian Stanley Fulham's story about UFOs and the Temple Mount will materialize. End quote. Now, then he goes on and Chalmers actually gives me the full text of the newspaper article, which is incredible. The headline is simply, quote, aliens in the holy city, question mark. Twice in recent weeks, glowing balls seem strangely moving over the old city. And then, of course, the nighttime experience. Watch the videos and decide for yourself. And, oh, my goodness, it goes into great detail.
Well, there's a lady who took shot the footage of the fourth video, actually. Numbers 1, 2, and 4 are the best of the four that came out. 1 and 4 being the best of those three. 4, I think, being the best of a close-up shot and 1 of a long shot, showing, you know, that you can see how high up in the sky it's taking off and how fast.
Exactly.
She made a comment. I know what I'm doing. I do this all the time. I'm from Mississippi, and we see these craft quite regularly. So,
from Mississippi, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's an American. So,
well, again, the newspaper's exact quotes in his last communique before his death on December 3rd, 2010, or I'm not sure the date here, December 3rd. Stanley A. Fulham wrote, on the basis of dimensional information communicated to him about the plans of a reported ET, Regional Galactic Governance Council, he writes, quote, interventions accelerate over continents. Interventions will then, after the first 2 weeks of January 2011, accelerate. Not so much over our cities, but dispersed over our continents with sightings increasing in duration. The intent of these interventions is to increase mankind's acceptance of the alien phenomena so that hopefully we'll be prepared to accept a face-to-face encounter and communicate perhaps as early as next year, 2011. So there you go.
Now, the statement that this is something that can occur near the Wailing Wall or the Dome of the Rock is not to be construed. It may be implied that that's some special dispensation that the Israelis have to be visited like that. There's a specific reason why they were there. That's what we've described. But these craft are seen all over the planet. I've talked to many people who've seen them, and I've seen them plenty of times. So, I've not been to the Wailing Wall once.
Yeah, and I'm just telling you, this is, again, the Israeli media report, which is, you got to say, this is mainstream as it gets in Israel.
Yes.
So here's the second part. I wanted to make sure we get this in. Israeli media report, this is the subheading. Israeli media report, scientists state Dome of the Rock UFO sighting further confirms what they call a working hypothesis of Galactic Governance Council. That's the subhead in the article. And it goes on, the existence and information about the reported Council of Alien Civilizations as a, quote, working hypothesis is based on evidence presented initially by the now-deceased Stanley A. Fulham and now also by the former NATO Spanish intelligence agent as another apparent communication channels of the same regional Galactic Governance Council. Since Stanley A. Fulham had accelerating pancreatic cancer in November 2010, what seems to have occurred is that this interdimensional source stating it is representing the Galactic Governance Council is now coming through other individuals with new information and, as predicted, confirmed UFO sightings now. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That there's got to be other individuals with new information coming. Well, why not? Why not Jeremiah? Why not connect with America? You know, this is I'm just saying, why not, ladies and gentlemen? All right, here we go. The essence of the Galactic Council's message is that in an extraordinary meeting around January 2010, parentheses, Earth time, members of the council met and determined to set aside the law of non-intervention as it made a factual determination that the ecology of the Earth was on the verge of collapse and beyond the capability of human technology to forestall collapse and thus species extinction. A leading atmospheric scientist, a member of the United Nations IPCC Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, made the same evaluation of the Earth's ecology as on the verge of collapse to this reporter 5 years ago in an interview. Accordingly, the council indicated it had made a decision to intervene with advanced technology by the year 2015, if not before, to clean the atmosphere of the Earth. Now, this is where there's a little convergence here, and I haven't got a response from Barry Chalmers on this, but I believe, you know, in my talks and your talks as well with Jeremiah, it's not a natural thing happening. It's the combination of these HARP weapons, the chemtrails, as Dr. Mike Castle is so courageously, you know, exposed so much of the time. It's a systematic alien dark force that is poisoning this planet for a reason. And this is why they're intervening now. Okay, so this story in the Israeli media does not really, it's just not clarifying it. It's right. It's pretty much on point, right, Don?
Yeah. Why? Let me ask you this, Drew. Why do you think they published that? There's usually a reason. Is this their way to try to preempt the rumors that the no-legged Mac Daddy wants to do this, or China wants to be the first?
Well, let's look at that after I finish this portion, and then because it kind of becomes a little self-evident.
Okay.
The council, again, we're talking about this Galactic Federation Council of of the Elders, as Fulham is saying, which again corresponds to what Jeremiah is saying. The council is also seeking to make a world speech explaining their ecological plan of attack in 2014, if not before. Both Mr. Fulham and the NATO Spanish intelligence officer, who's remaining unnamed, mentioned that their interdimensional sources indicated large-scale social, financial, governmental, etc. changes would take place on the planet – 2011 to 2014. And I say that's with or without their interference. Okay, that's the agenda of the giants, the Nephilim. Okay, not those are the avowed enemy of God. And Barry Chalmers, that's his central theme of his book, The Return of the Giants, which are the Nephilim, the enemies of God, that are right there in the first part of the Bible.
Well, okay? these are demons, then. You're saying.
They're demonic reptilian entities, and this book is very clear on that. I mean, he's unequivocal about the dark forces, and those have been very clear in his book as being in the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And that's about the time when Jeremiah told me that they began to take him on, okay? They began to basically have these cloak battles in that time frame. And now, I'm sure Jeremiah's told you the same thing, now they really don't engage with the Galactic Federation's crap because they're outgunned and maneuvered. They just evade. They run.
Hey.
Yeah. So all the interviews I've had on the phone with Jeremiah, this just really, I got to tell you, it starts to give him corroboration and credibility on a huge scale. I got to tell you, Don.
Well,
so finally, says from the available evidence, it would seem. Again, I'm quoting this from the Israeli newspaper. From the available evidence, it would seem that the Galactic Governance Council has the ability to identify and create credible sources for further information and updates. Parentheses, should all this scenario be in fact true and authentic? There's your claim of okay, gotta wait and see. problem.
Well, General Jeremiah has never referred to the group by the name Galactic Governance Council, so that is maybe a result of the filtering of that original information. Or synthesis of it, if you want to use that word.
Well, I don't know if it needs to be exactly the same thing, but the words that this article portrays is, in essence, the same thing.
It's same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't give it the specifics, you know what I'm saying, Don. But the story is amazing. Chalmers is like, wow. And because of this, I sent it out to some other people who I respect. Immensely is for their cognitive reasoning skills, their ability to sniff out the BS and to just give the evidence, do their own little bit of research. And one is an engineer who's sharp as a tack, Don. He's never been wrong. And he just emailed me back, just, wow, what a story. This makes sense and links into so many things that he understands now. I mean, it's to me it makes sense. And I say to all of those people out there that are skeptics, that's skepticism is okay. It's fine. I'm skeptical, Don.
So am I.
But ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you what I feel to be litmus tests on this subject. I've talked to a number of people who claim they know all about aliens, and boy, there's a lot of UFO hunters in my neck of the woods in Utah. You know that, Don. They're everywhere. But there's always seems to be an angle. They want some money donated. They want notoriety and publicity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I don't see that here. In fact, I see it just the opposite. I'm talking to, in talking to Jeremiah, I there's no doubt he's sincere. He's not asking for publicity. He shies away from it, in my estimation. And things are checking out. I make notes. I've taken notes with our discussions. I've put it into a file. And now these things come out. It's just ka-ching, 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 corroborate, corroborate, corroborate. And so what? Okay. So what if this guy, if it's Jeremiah, let's play devil's advocate. Let's say Jeremiah is is needs some medication. Okay, that he's making up a hoax. What? Why would anybody do that? You know, when you don't want to put your name out there and your identity. You see, if he was really off balance, imbalanced emotionally and mentally, this would be widely publicized, just like Colleen Thomas and others, okay, that I could name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not there.
Exactly.
It's not there.
Here's what's interesting. As I bring this story out, now you're bringing out corroboration from sources there in the very city where this occurred, even mainstream media. What do I have to gain by making this up? People are saying, well, this is going to attract more traffic to my website. Give me a break. I don't profit from that.
That's what I said today in my show. Good heavens. If 10 million people tuned into the story behind the story, where am I asking for any donations? Where is anything on my website? I'm doing this as a service. And by golly, at $200 an hour, which is my billing rate, do the math. It costs me $600 a week. Do I get a paycheck? No. Doesn't matter if I have 10 million people listening. Doesn't matter if I have 10 million or 10 or 1. It doesn't make a difference. And Don, that's just the way it is. So who's ever out there, you know, in a mean-spirited sort of way is saying this guy's a hoax. These pictures are things of America or are things on this planet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on. You know, you mean to say there can't be some reflection of this planet and other planets? Who's to say that? I don't know, Don. I just...
Well, I know that the people that are making these claims have already been outed 2 years ago, okay? They've been outed as to who they are. But if we need to repeat that because people have short memories...
We don't need to repeat that. Let's just, no. You know, I'm just going back
not,
and...
Not tonight. Not yeah. tonight. But I'm saying, you know, on a future show, I will expose these people again for who they are.
I look at it like this, Don. Everybody has... problems. Good heavens, I'm not perfect by any means. I make mistakes. You're not perfect, Don. You make mistakes. But I want to say this in your defense, in my defense, and Jeremiah's defense. If they're mistakes, they're honest mistakes. It's not done by means of deliberation. We don't plan a conspiracy to defraud, and we surely don't do it to make any money. Okay, I look at things logically through a logical filter. I believe I do. If it fits, I keep on to it. If it doesn't, I discard it and move on. And people close to me know that sometimes I'm harsh. I say things that offend people at times, and then I move on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's nothing for me to defend here. I'm not asking anyone to believe anything. I've said that over and over. But I have stated what I know is fact from experience, tons of experience, and attacking me is not going to undo that.
Well, let's change tacks and go into this other story, can we? We got a little time and a lot to cover. this is huge, Don. I mean, this is I've been on this afternoon and holy mackerel. This lady, we now confirm she is a woman, Andrea Soras, P-S-O-R-A-S. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, that it's not sore ass. With hemorrhoids, I'm sorry. She puts this comment dated Monday, May 5th, 2008, 3:08 p.m. to the secretary of the Commodities Future Trading Commission there in Washington, D.C. There was an open comment period. That just this whole thing, Don, just is shocking in the time frame of it and the text of it. At this time, Andrea is her address, her web address is she's representing a company called QEDI international.com, and that's the website and address. The subject, the public input on possible regulation of the Commodities Future Trading Commission. They want to look at regulating something called event contracts. Event contracts. What is that? I've been in financial planning, as you know, originally from the early 1980s till 1990. And I was a stock broker and a commodities broker myself. I've never heard in my time is something called event contracts.
Well, that's a contract for a disaster that's created.
Yeah.
The purpose of hedging bets against.
Hedging bets. It's like fixing a horse race where you know that you've got a remote control little bomb on a horse's knee to blow up as it's entering the final stretch. I mean, literally, that's kind of what we're talking about here. It's fixing something.
The people are being told it's a pig race.
Yeah. Okay. So does the SEC, through the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, need to put some laws in place over these event contracts? I think so. Call them illegal. Don't fix that horse race, ladies and gentlemen. Now, come on. This is ridiculous. But Andrea makes this statement in her introducing her evidence. Dear Commissioners and Secretary, again, this is the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, also known as the CFTC. Dear Commissioners and Secretary, not everything is a commodity, nor should something that is typically covered by some sort of property and casualty insurance suddenly become exchange tradable. Amen. Insurance companies for a number of years have provided compensation of some sort for random but periodic events. Of course, that's the definition of an insurable event. She goes on, quote, where the insurance industry wants to offload the risk at the expense of other commodities market participants contributes to sorts of moral hazards, which I vigorously oppose. Ladies and gentlemen, I too vigorously oppose what she calls moral hazards. In other words, it's corruption, ladies and gentlemen. It's an illegal activity. Let me again repeat that last sentence of the first paragraph. Where the insurance industry wants to offload their risk at the expense of other commodities market participants. In other words, they want to put options on an event that they know is going to insider trade basically the value of stock. They can hedge their bets and make money on the transaction. Indeed, it does contribute to sorts of moral hazards. Everybody that's got a lick of sensibility and integrity and morality would vigorously oppose such a thing, right? If where there is interest to develop these sorts of risk event instruments, to me it seems an admission that the insurance sector is perhaps marginal or worse, incompetent or too greedy to determine how to offer insurance for events presumably produced by nature. Presumably produced by nature. Now, where there are the weather and earth-shaking technologies, or some circles call these weather and electromagnetic weapons, used insidiously, unfortunately, by our military, by our intelligence apparatus, and perhaps our military contractors for purposes contrary to that to which our public servants take their oath of office to the Constitution, I suggest prohibiting the use of that technology rather than leaving someone else holding the bag in the event destruction produced by and where so-called natural events were produced by military contractor technology in the guise of Mother Nature, she writes. consider Representative Dennis Kucinich as well as former Senator John Glenn attempted to have our Congress prohibit the use of space-based weapons. That class of weapons includes the weather weapons, and she gives the website of globalresearch.ca, as well as other articles about this on the Global Research website. Respectfully, Andrea Soros. Now, that's where I want to get to, the date of this and who she worked for at the time, QEDI. QEDI International, ladies and gentlemen, is the company that does risk management assessment for insurance companies. And on the QEDI International website, they are a strategic, vital partner of British Petroleum, ladies and gentlemen. Holy mackerel. Holy cow, ladies and gentlemen. May 5th, 2008, I found that 2 weeks after she sent in this to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, this is when the insurance policy was given risk analysis of the Transocean drilling rig working for British Petroleum under contract. And we also know, Don, as you brought out so well in your research, the put options placed through Goldman Sachs on Transocean
April 20th or prior to that, yeah.
Yeah. There, I think she's whistleblowing as much as she can without pointing fingers, and that, and the bottom line is she's no longer with QEDI. She's gone. Bye-bye. See you later. Sayonara.
And now,
I'm telling you,
yeah,
what a story.
The trail goes on.
It does.
There's a company called Rapid Ratings International Incorporated let me read an article from November 16th, 2010. Rapid Ratings International Inc. announced today that NASDAQ OMX Commodities Clearing Company, a Chicago-based, wholly owned subsidiary of the NASDAQ OMX Group, Inc., and part of the NASDAQ OMX Commodities offering, has subscribed to Rapid Ratings suite of products for measuring counterparty risk exposures. I think she connects to this group and to via some alleged associates. Now, this may just be Scrabble with names. it leads to a ship brokerage firm. It gets really interesting, and then that leads to oil companies. Again, different oil companies, but maybe connected to BP. So,
Don, yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say I'm going deeper in a different direction.
You are, and that's fine. But I've been on this, as you know, for 2 to 3 weeks, and since talking with Drew Malone Raines there in Little Rock, Arkansas, I've been doing my best to show that the events there in BB, Arkansas, concerning the dead birds, the epicenter of these many quakes that are continuing to rattle and shake the region, they are consistent very much with space-based HAARP weapons of the Tesla variety that Ms. Soros, Andrea, documents so well in this 35-page paper to the CFTC. Now, I say this, ladies and gentlemen, because look what's happening right now. You've got Virginia, no less the headquarters of DARPA. This is the darkest of the dark part of the military-industrialist complex. You've got Virginia Tech spearheading this incredible risk, this what you call event contract of the highest order, ladies and gentlemen, event contract concerning a major series of earthquakes on the New Madrid fault line. Just go and check it out. I've done it. I'm telling you, I am flat out stunned at the hundreds of millions of dollars spent already on this event contract.
Well, that's what 9/11 was, a whole series of event contracts.
It's amazing.
That are still going on.
who's benefiting? Just like I talked with Dr. Castle. Think about it. You just have it even on a small scale where you can increase the velocity and power of these blizzards that are going across the Midwest and into the East. You increase the usage of petroleum products, the gas in the homes, the productivity and loss of productivity factors. All of these are very much man playing God and cashing in on the Scrabble table.
And they're probably doing put options on the airlines again too, because
exactly,
the airlines are grounded. Sure.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Soros is right on point. You can't say it any better than this letter. I mean, then she goes and just gives them 34 pages of documentation on this that we could spend 10 shows on, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. She lets them have it.
Well, let's schedule that then.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on when you have FEMA, DARPA, you know, these minions, Don, scheduling massive disaster drills this spring there at the New Madrid Fall, when you have 7 million blankets ordered because they figured there'd be 7 million survivors that need to be taken care of. Who knows how many millions of, quote, underwater body bags. This is all, ladies and gentlemen, falling under the event contract structure. But who's manipulating this one, and who's changing the world to fit their back pocket? I got to tell you, this smacks like George Soros and the boys at Goldman Sachs in the worst way. You know, Don, I got to tell you this. I'm praying that there is a Galactic Federation that can come and zap these sons of bees, okay? Because it's beyond our citizens' rights now. Millions of people in these states, Tennessee, especially Tennessee, Kentucky, all the way up to the southern tip of Illinois, all those people are going to die with this event. Oh, does that mean anything to you, ladies and gentlemen? It is. She talks about moral hazard. Well, this is a flippin' moral nuclear bomb, Don. It makes my gut ache thinking about it. So I'm praying there is a Galactic Federation that can. I for one am a simple human being stuck on Terra Firma, who I'm saying, well, call it what you will. We need divine intervention. We need angels on our side on this. And if the Galactic Federation fit that bill, please help us. That's my plea right now.
Well, they are helping us. Number one, you know, I see a bright side to all this. You know, you have to see the absolute darkest of the dark before you can anticipate the light returning. Mm-hmm. And can it get any darker than it is and still have anyone experience it? I really, in a lot of ways, I say no, it can't. It's every perversion is taking place on the planet right now. If you want to equate things according to the numbers, you know, one death is too much. Millions of deaths are too much, and everything that's in between, all the assault on humanity is obscene, all of it, and they know that the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, very well knows what the score is here on this planet, and the people who are awakening also know it too. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, you know, we shared on to listeners on your show my research on the miracle illumination, okay, the the deployment of a deuterium-based laser on the Deepwater Horizon platform.
Yes.
This went out. Jeremiah, you know, confirmed the deployment of this to me and you in private conversations. We didn't talk about this on the air.
We knew it first.
We knew it first. We figured it out first, and we got confirmation secondly. And after I put the pieces together and shared it with you know, on your show as well as my radio show, it caused such a rumbling. I did, in fact, get visited by members of the Air Force, two gentlemen with CID badges that were just wanting me as a good patriotic American to tell them where I got my sources, where my leaks came from. And I just said, look, I have no contact with anybody in the Air Force. You don't have nothing to worry about. All of my sources came, number one, by intellectual analysis, and secondly, by digging in like a good research journalist should. And I let them have it. I let them have the documentation. And they looked it over and looked at me like, wow, thank you, thank you, okay. Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, fingers were pointed at the highest levels of the Air Force. Where the heck did this Dr. Ott get this information? Where did he know that it was deployed out of Elgin Air Force Base in Florida? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's in the public record that that's where these deuterium space weapons are deployed. Where else could it be? China? It's right there. I mean, it's in public records. So, Donna, you know, as I'm sitting here, they were pointing fingers at a gentleman that they figured was a whistleblower inside of Elgin, and he got upset, and there was a shootout at the gate. Remember that? Man was shot and killed because of this. No wonder CID is wondering where I got the information. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back again to this piece I just wrote to you. A moral hazard? You bet. Deploy a deuterium-based weapon to blow up, to take out a Deepwater Horizon rig with a tremendously incredible spotless track record. Oh, and Don, blame it on a Chinese or a North Korean attack sub, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, they were saying there was an Iranian sub.
Yeah. make it a submarine attack. Come on, give us a false flag coming out here. Blame Ahmadinejad. Ladies and gentlemen, no. The heliport that as the rig was sinking, clear pictures of a laser-like cut in that thick aluminum base of the helipad. No way that was a hydrocarbon flame or fire. No way to have it burn that wide and that precise. I'm not the smartest man in the world, Don, but I'm a heck of a lot smarter than Henry Kissinger.
Well, I think it's more likely for an Iranian sub to be guarding a 7-Eleven store than attacking an oil plant.
So you see where we're going. You know, the whole next phase, you've got people that really should know better in alternative radio talking about the worldwide cataclysm events caused by this oil gusher down at the bottom of the Gulf. It's displacing the fault line. It's causing the movement on the San Andreas Fault. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a cover story to cover the HAARP technologies again.
And let me support what you're saying here with my own research without going into any details, just to say there is a paper trail that shows all of this was planned. In fact, it was planned between almost to the day. Between the time that Andreas Soros or Andrea Soros wrote this letter, this communication to the SEC, and when they actually halted the first stage of drilling on the Deepwater Horizon. In fact, they drilled two wells. They started April 1st of 2009, and they drilled 100 days, and then shortly after they started the first well, they again drilled well B, and they drilled that for 100 days. They announced on September the 1st, if I recall, of 2009, that they made this gigantic discovery of an oil well, and they were naming thousands of barrels of of oil that they were going to get from this well. And then in a short period of time, it increased. And I discerned that by November of 2009, they had already, toward the end of November, they had already decided that they were going to go ahead and do this. And I maintain that the White House probably knew that around November 30th.
Well, I maintain, Don, that our friend Andrea Soros knew it too, and she did her darndest to stop it. And as a result, she's no longer there. Who knows what went on there. I think she did it very tactfully. Put yourself in her position. QEDI is a strategic partner with BP and everything. She may have come across some
I think they internal... do risk management.
They do. That's what they do.
Well, and, sure. Then I'm on the right path in another direction, too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the same direction, really. She just came forward and said, look, Commodities Futures Trading Commission, here is on the record, I oppose this. And she did a very good job. Now, we have it now as a, to me, it's a smoking gun for a number of things. If you want proof, ladies and gentlemen, of weather manipulation, if you want proof of earthquake creation, if you want proof of hurricane steering, it's all right here.
Cyclones, you got a very abnormal cyclone in Australia right now.
Indeed. And the AIG, the Allied Insurance Group, all these people, ladies and gentlemen, they get the bailout money, they get this TARP funds, and there's messing with the derivatives market, the event contract market. How sick is this? How morally hazardous, morally bankrupt is this? There's no words to it. I'm stuttering. The immorality of this on such a grand scale, the lives ruined, the industry ruined in the Gulf of Mexico, the flora and the fauna destroyed because they want more money. Don, my goodness, these people need to be vaporized.
Well, I've always called it simple organized crime, posing as government and acting under color of authority as government officials. But it fits the RICO statutes. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they created the very laws that they're breaking. Talk about calling the pot calling the kettle black. That's one of the issues that we have to deal with is the fact that that the laws are being broken constantly. Well, they say it's okay to do it. I thought the SEC was supposed to be a watchdog organization. They were supposed to maintain the integrity of the stock market to prevent fraud and Ponzi schemes and what happened.
Well, watch what's happening right now as we speak concerning this new event contract, this massive new event contract in the New Madrid Fault. Take a look at the Virginia Tech studies. Look at the new Gulf of Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. There's like 600 miles of ocean now separating the Midwest from the East Coast, all the way up to the point of the Great Lakes and the Canadian border, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for America to be separated physically that way? Well, according to Virginia Tech, that's what is going to happen with this massive earthquake structure, the liquefying of the soil, all the Mississippi River Delta. Memphis, Tennessee, you're gone. You're toast. The rest of it's doomsday on steroids, Don, and it's clear this is being positioned again for a massive global event contract. That's what I'm saying. I just cannot fathom the evil intent and desire to kill and destroy people's lives in this manner. It's horrendous.
Well, I'm sure we want to encourage folks to go to your website, atruot.com, and read what you've posted there. You do have something about this on your site.
I will have tomorrow. I'm still putting the pieces together. What I did post there just today was this story on the scanners and Michael Chertoff, the testimony of the Haskells. Oh my goodness, you got to watch that, ladies and gentlemen. Every time you travel in an airplane and have to have your self turned naked in front of these scanners, you can thank Chertoff and the boys and the eyewitness testimony of the Haskells, who were passengers on this flight. They're attorneys, both of them, and they're trying to make their story heard, but nobody with exception of a few radio stations are listening to them. Incredible.
Well, there was one Haskell that was pretty famous. He was Eddie on Leap Beaver.
don't go there. This guy is a whole lot better looking, and he's a lot more intelligent. Don, it's late. I guess we're getting punchy. I gotta sign off.
Thank you for tackling two very difficult topics, and basically you're vouching for what I've been saying for a number of years on this show and many other shows, including yours.
I'll just say this in closing, concerning the Galactic Federation. It feels good to know there's some people saying that they're standing up for the right way. Okay? If it's true, it's a wonderful blessing. If it's false, so what? Who's hurt? Who's hurt, ladies and gentlemen? You know, have you donated any money to support the Galactic Federation's fuel costs? Come on, give it a break.
they don't need it.
They don't need it. So what's the harm in believing, ladies and gentlemen? I sign me up, believe me. And if you're there, General Jeremiah, if you're listening, hey, I'm ready for a ride.
we all are.
We both are. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take a flight. I want to see what those G-forces are at 50,000 miles an hour, man. I'm ready.
That's where your toes come out your ears.
Woo, yeah, pedal to the metal. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Drew, thank you so much for being on the show tonight and, bringing all this important information forward, and we'll stay abreast of things and pay attention. We will see more craft. There's no doubt about it. General Jeremiah told us that on this show on May 28th, 2009, and later on in July of the same year, he repeated that message. We would be seeing more and more of them. And these are not illusions. They're not holograms. They're not movies. It's not mainstream spin. It's the real deal. And when you see it, you are going to be awestruck. When you see it live, you're going to be awestruck. And you're not going to be fearful. That's the interesting thing. These people don't peddle fear.
Well, they just want to give us a fighting chance to live our lives in peace. And that's all what I'm about, Don. I know that's what you are too.
Sure.
God bless you, sir.
Well, you too. You have a good night, and I'll be listening to your show tomorrow on themicroeffect.com. Good night, Drew.
Good night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. And I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when my special guest will be Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.